This is Vatican Radio. I am Lydia O'Kane. It's been nearly 20 years since the Good Friday or Belfast Agreement was signed between the British and Irish governments and eight political parties in Northern Ireland. The accord was hailed as a major political development in the Northern Ireland peace process and committed the participants to exclusively democratic and peaceful means of resolving differences on political issues. The conflict in Northern Ireland, known as the Troubles, spanned 30 years and claimed thousands of lives. The signing of the Belfast Agreement was seen to usher in a new era of peace and prosperity in the province. But what was the role of women in this quest for peace? Professor Monica McWilliams is an academic who co-founded the Northern Ireland Women's Coalition, which led her to being part of the multi-party negotiations which contributed to the intergovernmental agreement in April 1998. She was in Rome on Thursday to give the second annual Hugh O'Flaherty lecture at the Irish Embassy to the Holy See, entitled From the Margins to the Mainstream: Women's Participation in Peacemaking in Northern Ireland and Elsewhere. After her oration, she talked with me.
I'm going to choose something that you said right at the end of your lecture. You talked about preparedness and behaviour and chemistry all being, and humanity being, key points to peacemaking and peace building. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, I think you can have all kinds of manuals and rules of procedure and proposals in peace agreements to resolve conflict, but none of it will be resolved if you don't have leadership. And the leadership needs to have a good value set, and it needs to recognise the humanity in the other person. It needs to be pragmatic, but over the years I've discovered chemistry, the personality. And if the personalities can work together on opposite sides, then you've got the real ingredients of making the proposals work. And so it's about determined leadership that is prepared to see the good in the other person and not just the enemy in the other person.
You were talking also about, we were talking about 20 years after the Northern Ireland Peace Agreement, and somebody mentioned the word peace fatigue and how it's an ongoing process. You also mentioned about decommissioning mindsets, that it's difficult, that to you're talking about prepared for peace and ready for war, that you have to keep it going in case you go back. But what I wanted to ask you, how good are women with regard to keeping momentum going in these situations?
Women just don't give up, because we know that from our own partnerships that we work on in our family lives, putting pieces together, being pragmatic, and just being very determined. And we will suffer the cost if the thing breaks down, which we know. And it's women as widows and women's children who are going to be terribly displaced and exiled. So there is a real determination for women to focus on that long-term implications. And I mean, men also, but everywhere I've been, I just admire those women who, in the worst of conditions, are still being creative and innovative and bringing solutions to the table and not whining and whinging and looking for egos to be massaged and told how brilliant they are and being reassured about their certainties. I mean, that's not going to resolve anything, being told that you're right all the time or that you're certain of your own side only. So I just think there, and for all of those other reasons that I said, you know, where there was a much more preparedness to reach out, even to take those risks. Because we're used to being humiliated. So when we get called names, we just get up and get over it. We don't tolerate it, we challenge it, but we don't focus on it. There are bigger fish to fry. And we can't afford to be fatigued. There is too much suffering going on. And yes, I get burnt out. Yes, my health took a terrible toll at different stages. And you have to remind yourself to build yourself back up. But get stuck in there, because there's nothing that is better than knowing that you can make a difference with other people. No one woman will do this alone, but even individual women are needed to speak up and speak out. Not to shut up and sit down, you stupid woman, which was what I was told, but to stand up and speak out and be confident that you're doing the right thing.
You talked about Northern Ireland, but you also talked about other countries that you've been to. You mentioned Syria and you mentioned Colombia being just two of the countries. From what you were hearing from women there, from people there, with regard to reconciliation projects, what have they learned from the Northern Ireland peace process?
Well, first they learned that you needed to form a network of support and a network, a circle of influence, because no one will listen to you if you're not influential and effective. And that can come from being in the little villages where you're creating partnerships and right through to the peace talks where we were at Geneva. And also there has to be a determination that the men-only coalitions can't go on existing. They need to be much more inclusive. And the diversity of the opinion is what makes it for a richer process. So there are many lessons, and delegating and breaking things down into small pieces and giving women the skills to take forward that piece. It's like a sports team. Everybody plays a part. And that's what I find in terms of the capacity building workshops that we're doing in Syria, in Myanmar, in Colombia. And mostly to give them the belief that their work can make a difference. Resilience and coping and being agents of change. Women are too often asked about their victimhood. You know, what happened when you were raped and what happened when the army came in and tore your home apart. Ask them about how they changed their communities, how they became agents of transformation and how they became decision makers. Those are also very important. Because we are survivors. No matter what is thrown at us, no matter how hard it has been, we come through it. And not all of us, but I think we have incredible coping strategies. And we have to have.